You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, all about the rookie class, and of course, a training camp. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. We're going to have live look-ins from training camp, Matt, that you and I will be doing. Videos breaking down training camp every single day as the Browns huddle, take a training camp focus. And of course, you can get this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right there in the palm of your hand. So go get the app right now. If you're a Browns fan, plus it'll bark at you. It gives you everything that you need. All right, let's go to the phones now. 216-578-0850. Don in Youngstown is with us. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. First of all, to answer your question about the one word I have to use, too, and it would be cautious now, just because of the quarterback situation. I think a lot of the other pieces are in place and a little bit of wide receiver. But I have a couple questions for you guys.
Sure.
The first one would be the one thing that I keep hearing from national pundits is about our tight end situation. And the one question mark I have is, if you look at him as far as the measurables, Rob Hausler is about a clone of Jordan Cameron.
Yep.
He was just in an offense that didn't utilize the tight end. And with Jordan Cameron being hurt as much as he was, I don't know where we lose on this deal. Hopefully he's got the same kind of talent, but measurables are about the same.
I think you're right. In fact, he's even a little bit faster than Jordan Cameron in a straight line. And I think that was the thinking, that once Jordan Cameron wasn't able to be here, they got what they considered to be a Jordan Cameron, I don't want to say clone, but a guy that I know Ray Farmer regarded very much like a Jordan Cameron, and thinks that he can step in and fill in that role and fill that void for this team. So I do think that that's exactly what they were going for, and this tight end room's got now the pass catcher in a Rob Hausler. You've got guys who can do both in Gary Barnage and Jim Dre. And the one guy that the coaches keep talking about is E.J. Bibbs out of Iowa State, the undrafted free agent, that he has really caught everybody's eye, and they're very excited to see what they're going to do with him going forward here once the pads come up.
And Gerard Cherry asked me a great question while I was calling into a really big show earlier today, and it was focused on the tight end room. And he talked about the tells offensively that might come from our tight end room, because Rob Hausler will be the predominant pass catcher in that room. I think Barnage is probably the best 50-50 guy in that room, being able to catch and block. And Dre is probably more 70-30, the blocker, less the passer. And so that challenge will be for John DeFilippo. How do you disguise that tell of who's playing and where they're lining up on certain downs and distances, run formations, pass formations, to negate it from being an advantage for any defense that looks at the Cleveland Browns from a personnel standpoint, and then the end result, whether it be run pass.
And let me ask you this, as a linebacker, when that's something that you'd be paying a lot of attention to, and by the time that you obviously game one, you're not going to have that film. Maybe you will a little bit from preseason,
yeah,
but the Browns can show anything they want in
Correct.
Preseason. But once you get into real games, you'll know, you know, you can come out with stats that say when Rob Hausler's on the field, the Browns are passing it 70%
yeah.
of the time, and that's a very good tell.
It was a huge tell, and just from my days with the San Diego Chargers, Tony Gonzalez, you know, soon to be Hall of Fame tight end, was, you know, in the prime of his career. And I don't remember exactly what situation, like where he was on the field, but there was the largest tell when he either lined up or motioned, you know, to a certain spot, which could have been, you know, the right side in a dual formation, dual tight end formation. They ran the ball like 90 plus times away from him. So how great of an advantage was it for you? But that's where the player study and the heat of the battle for a Carlos Dansby, a Craig Robertson, or in this case, Kruger, Solomon, you know, Orchard Mingo, calling that out and identifying it so that all 11 guys can go, hey, this is that situation, you know, bells, whistles, sirens, red flags should be waving, that this is that situation. And that's when you, you know, you bump the front, you know, to the direction that they should run, but you also have to be ready to, you know, that 9% that they run it over his way, you have to be ready to play that as well.
And you got to have, right, they're going to pull out the old okey-doke yes. every now and again. Let me set you up, and yep. then bam, here's the other one. But I think that will be something that we'll watch a lot in training camp, too, to see if they're very specific or if Hausler shows enough as a blocker. I think a lot of times that you could see Hausler out there, you're going to see him maybe when they go flex him out and basically go four receivers. Yep. And I also think you could see him sometimes in a two tight end set where they'll have a Dre in line, they'll have Hausler flexed out, much like the Saints do, where you have a single back, you have two tight ends, but Hausler's really being treated as that wide receiver in the slot, a big slot receiver like yeah. Jimmy Graham would
be. Create that 50-50 run. You can still run to Dre or Barnage, who is down, you yep. know, essentially on the strong side, or you can throw or boot towards Hausler being flexed out, and you get him up the field with a receiver to his side, you know, and a back out of the back. There's just many things you can do with the diversity of an athletic tight end. We've seen that, you know, with Gronk, with Jimmy Graham, with Antonio Gates for many years now.
And that's what, and it is a nice thing for a team to have that flexibility, and you see certain teams come out and play that way. That'll be something that we'll keep an eye on. I want to talk about some of the things that Andrew Hawkins said. When I asked him, what's the one word to describe Mike Patton? He said business. What does that, as a former player, what is that a kind of coach that you would have wanted to have? What does that make you think?
As a former player, no, you'd always love to have that player's coach, but what other coach in the National Football League do you think of when you hear the word business?
Bill Belichick?
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going for. And what has Bill Belichick accomplished?
That just happened, folks. That was not scripted. That
was not
planned. He just looked
into
my eyes and
I
just,
did. But I mean that's my whole point. When he said business, I immediately went Bill Belichick. And when you think Bill Belichick, what do you think of?
Winning.
You think of Patriots and winning and Super Bowls. Yep. So to know that we have that, and now 2 years removed from when it wasn't the sexiest hire, when there were bigger names or other people that were out there to come be the head football coach of Cleveland, Mike Patton was hired for a reason.
Absolutely, he was hired for a reason. And that, I think that's a good thing, and that's what we certainly want to see happen. Now, the other thing that was, I thought, a very business answer, you asked him what his personal goals are for the season, and he said winning football games.
Yeah.
Nothing about a stat. You know, you'll hear Adrian Peterson say, my goals,
I want to be a Pro Bowler.
I want to be a Pro Bowler. I want to have a 1,000-yard season.
That was my expectation, answering that question to get inside his mind.
So what does that say to you when you hear that?
That, to me, is something that resounds throughout the locker room. Because when he said that, just the same way when he said business, I thought Bill Belichick, when he, as a second-year Cleveland Brown, after spending time with another organization, said winning, that to me says that he's bought into this Cleveland fan base, and he's bought in even more so to these coaches. But what really popped into my head was the Joe Hayden and the Joe Thomas and the Alex Mack personalities in this locker room. These guys have been longtime Browns. And these guys' sole purpose is they just want to win and win here. And so for Andrew Hawkins, being a free agent in his second year, wanting that same result as a leader on this team as well, goes to show that culture that we continually talk about and say that we see is not surface level. It is integrated into that locker room, that all they really want is to win and win games and enjoy being looked at as successful from outside sources around the National Football League and just in national, you know, the national media, to look at them and go, Browns winning, because they got a taste of that last year.
They did.
They got a taste.
Yep.
And that, in some cases, should be like a drug for them that they want to take again and again and again and again, because that's what winning does. And that's why the greatest quarterbacks in the world are who they are. They've tasted that winning and never want to not have that again in any one season, and why they continue to strive to be the greatest, you know, each and every year, each and every week.
How many players in your experience, the guys that you played with, let's even break it down more specifically. You can start with the first question, but wide receivers would have given that answer when asked about what's your personal goal for the season? Was that rare?
I felt rare.
Like that was rare.
Very rare. Very rare. Because it was bold in saying that. But he didn't preface it with his goal, but really we just want to be winners. Or winning, and then his goal. It was winning, exclamation point,
period,
exclamation point, period. Boom. That's it.
That's it.
All that matters. And I'm sure, and this is coming from the mindset of why I asked that question, it's he could have one catch or 100 catches or no touchdowns or 10 touchdowns, but if they win and he's a part of that winning in some way, shape, and form, it's all that matters.
And when you're a veteran like he is, You know, when you know how contracts are structured now, it's typically for a guy like him, you look at the contracts that, for example, that he signed, that Dansby signed, that Whitner signed, all the guaranteed money's out after the second season. So in many ways, even though he's under contract, he's kind of entering a free agent season, or at least probably looks at it that way. And he's not even worried one bit. You didn't feel that he was worried one bit about his own personal goals. And I love the fact that he said his son Austin's going to be here playing for the Browns.
Yeah.
Not just playing in the NFL someday.
After he wins multiple Super Bowl championships here.
Yes.
And to go back to your contract is, yes, there was some sort of guaranteed contract affiliated with him making the roster, making this club, and guarantees this year. But he knows from a business standpoint that his play during this season is the only thing that allows him to essentially guarantee next football season salary, whatever it is, which is probably a bigger number than the first two combined, negating the bonuses salary-wise.
Yeah, so I thought that was just a very insightful answer, and he talked about the locker room, and I think that's what you had last year. You brought in to a team that, you know, your stars are stars, but they hadn't been anywhere where there was winning. And you had Carlos Dansby come in who had played in a Super Bowl. You had Dante Whitner who had come in and played in a Super Bowl and at that point been to three straight NFC Championship games. Hawk was with the Bengals where they had gone to the playoffs every single year. So you brought in a bunch of guys who had won. And I think they added some more veterans, again, who have won. Dwayne Bowe was in the playoffs recently. Brian Hartline has been successful in the league. Randy Starks, two-time Pro Bowler. So I think they brought in some veterans. What you have to hope, I think, when you look at this team is that the veterans can provide enough of a short-term burst and culture change so that that becomes the culture of the young guys who are going to be here. I think when this team ultimately really starts winning, and those veterans probably aren't here anymore.
I agree. And I'm not trying to discount, you know, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, or Joe Hayden by any means, but the lack of that true superstar personality is something that I don't miss. Because you look around the league with the Dez Bryants and the holdouts and, Bennett out there in Seattle. Yeah. Russell Wilson turning down $21 million. That big, you know, problem, that big personality is something that we don't have. You know, and I think that only bodes well, as you mentioned, for these veterans that we have who are humbled, being paid well, but are able to pass the torch simply because of their experience and the fact that they brought that here to Cleveland and started that ball rolling. It's now the next, you know, the next series of 4 or 5 year contracts that need to take that over and continue that.
Absolutely. Yes. And with the draft classes that you had last year, 12 guys this year, you hope that you find those guys who are ready to go and kind of take that mantle, take that torch going forward for the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topic of the Day. One word to describe your feelings about this team as training camp starts. Matt, Jason, and I will give our answers. We'll read through your tweets. And now is time to get on the phone, 216-578-0850. Call us up and give us your answers as well. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. It's good to have you back, man. It's good to be back,
man.
With you.
Thank you.
Because you were back and then I was back, but we were never back together.
No, we weren't. We were on the show. It was a show, but it wasn't a show.
It was like Hall and Oates. Only Hall, only Oates.
Right.
Now we got it both. We'll be back with more CBD.